see did not come from anything that can be seen. It was by faith that Abel brought a more acceptable offering to God than Cain did. God accepted Abel's offering to show that he was a righteous man. And although Abel is long dead, he still speaks to us because of his faith. It was by faith that Enoch was taken up to heaven without dying. Suddenly, he disappeared because God took him. But before he was taken up, he was approved as pleasing to God. So you see, it is impossible to please God without faith. And anyone who wants to come to him must believe that there is a God and that he rewards those who sincerely seek him. I want to stop right there. Let's go back for a minute. Let's go back to Genesis for a minute. And remember, we're on a quest to see what writer of the Hebrews is saying about grace. Let's go back to maybe the fourth chapter of Genesis. Let's look at the fourth chapter of Genesis. I'm posing a question. What's the difference between Cain and Abel? What's really the difference between Cain and Abel? What do they have in common? They got mama in common. They got daddy in common. They are reflected as, according to the narrative, some of the first children of creation. They're brothers. So they got a few things in common. What's the difference? What's the difference, particularly in their relationship to God? So let's read. Adam, I'm not sure why it appears to me that my voice is going in and out. It's not, seems like the sound coming through the mic. I don't know, can you check the battery? Maybe it's just my ears going in and out.
Maybe it's time to make a doctor's appointment, babe. I don't know.
Now, Adam slept with his wife, Eve, and she became pregnant. When the time came, she gave birth to Cain, and she said, "With the Lord's help, I have brought forth a man." Later, she gave birth to a second son and named him Abel. Now, just looking at the first verse, does anything jump out at you? And Eve says, "With the Lord's help, I have brought forth a son, a man-child." Does that say anything about grace? Is anything about grace there? Okay. All right. When they grew, later, chapter verse 2, she gave birth to a second son and named him Abel. When they grew up, Abel became a shepherd while Cain was a farmer. The text didn't say any one of them just laid around, slept around, didn't do nothing. Lazy, no good, trifling bums. So what do they have in common? They both go about working in the area of the assignment of their parents, and that is to be trusted with property that belongs to who? That belongs to God. Everybody with me so far? So both of the boys have what? A responsibility. Both of the boys have an assignment. Both of the boys were birthed by Mama Eve and Eve impregnated by Adam, so their daddy is Adam and their mama is Eve. At harvest, verse 3, at harvest time, Cain brought to the Lord a gift of his farm produce, while Abel brought several choice lambs from the best of his flock. The Lord accepted Abel and his offering, but he did not accept Cain and his offering. This made Cain very angry. Now, before we get to the distinctions of their offering, both of them did what? At offering time, both of them marched around and gave. Both of them had something. Both of them recognized the worthiness of God to some extent, and both of them brought what? Both of them brought offering. But the Bible says one was accepted and the other one was rejected. Now, how many of y'all's minds are turning right now? Anybody's mind turning? Anybody's mind? Because the whole idea here for Sunday school, for Bible study, when you sit in Sunday school, when you sit there, your mind ought to be turning. One of the ways we keep our mind in here and on this is we think in terms of it. And what is, not only what is Pastor trying to get us to see, but what is the text getting me to see, particularly when I'm reading it again like it's my first time. So some stuff ought to be jumping out at us. So let's talk for a few minutes. What's jumping out at you? Okay. All right. We want to get to that. Anything that jumps out at you even before the distinction or the rejection of the gift? Anything that jumps out at you before that? It jumps out at me because Eve suggests that she could not have had a boy if God didn't help her. Well, they wouldn't have been able to give a gift if they wasn't born. Right? Right? So again, let's not rush to what we've always emphasized when we read the Bible. Let's walk up to it, because there's some nuggets, there's some treasures that we want to get before we get to that, particularly when we're talking about grace or when we talk about a particular subject matter. We're going to get there, Sister Mill. We're going to get there. But think about it for a minute. Eve says, if it had not been the Lord, I wouldn't have had this first boy. Eve could actually say, this boy comes from God. Eve could actually say, this boy is a gift. Somebody ought to hear me. This boy is a gift from God. Oh, come on, talk to me, sister. Come on, talk. Anytime you hear me say gift, G-R-A-C-E, I'll jump in your head. Y'all jump in your head. Sister Byrne? Well, so when we look at it, before we get to the rejection, if God gave her one boy, did not God give her another one? Because she said, now who was the firstborn? Cain was the firstborn. She said, the Lord helped me to bring this boy into the world. This boy is a product of God's work in my life. So is grace on Eve? Sure. Is grace on Cain? Is grace on Abel? Is grace on Adam? Y'all with me? We're not at the rejection yet, but grace is evident in the lives of these human beings on the planet that represent the creation story. And see, what that means is whatever Cain, whatever Abel, because, you know, he's our hero. He made Hebrew. Cain didn't make it as one who was commended. But Abel made it. But whatever Abel had going for him from the Lord, Cain had it too. Cain had it too. Now, how do I know that? Let's look. So I'm going to answer your question, but I want to jump ahead just a little bit, Sister Mills. Verse 6, why are you so angry? The Lord asked him. Now watch this. If Cain was so messed up, void of any God's grace, would God even talk to him? Huh? Well, he would, because he's a God of what? God doesn't talk to us because we're ready to talk to him. God doesn't talk to us because we've been so good. God doesn't talk to us because we always get it right. God does not talk to us. God does not come to us because we deserve for him to come to us. Did y'all just hear my mic go out there? It just went out. Yeah. So I just want to make sure it ain't me. Okay. Yeah, at least yearly, right? At least one time a year. So listen, saints. Listen, here's what's critical. The Bible says that in spite of Cain, God comes to him. God comes to Cain. What is that? Well, absolutely he's a child of God. Absolutely he's a child of God. He's not a child of God like you're a child of God, but he's a child of God's creation, procreated through God's vessel, Eve, right? So he has a relationship with God. He failed, but he has a relationship with God. And what blows me away when I read this is even though he's rejected, God does not wait for him to go to God and say, I messed up. God says, God comes to him and says, don't be discouraged. Don't get upset. I want you to get it right. I still love you and I'm going to help you get it. He says, why do you look so dejected? You will be accepted if you respond in the right way. But watch this. If you refuse to respond correctly, then watch out. Sin is waiting to attack and destroy you, and you must subdue it. I just said that Cain is not a child of God like we are children of God. But I tell you, even pre-resurrection, and that's all I'm saying in terms of them not being like us as children of God. We are a product of the finished work of Jesus Christ. So we are children of God by the salvation work of Jesus. You understand what I'm saying there? But they don't know anything about Jesus. They have a relationship with God by creation. But watch this. The enemy's control of Cain is basically on Cain. Do y'all see that? The only way the enemy will pounce on Cain is that Cain has to allow him. And Cain allows the enemy to get control of him if he does what? If he rejects, if he refuses God's gift of preparation on how to render his offering. The only way that Cain misses the hero list of Hebrew is because he rejected the way of Jesus Christ, the way of God. I can't say Jesus yet, but he rejects the way of God. And the problem with his sacrifice, Sister Mills, is the exact same thing that we read in the book of Hebrews. In the book of Hebrews, we read, without faith, without believing God, without trusting God, without relying on God, it's impossible to please God. One of the ways I'm assured after the fact of why Cain's offering was rejected is because if the writer of the Hebrews says it's impossible to please God without believing in God. Now, I want you to come up with the answer, Sister Mills. I want you to hear me closely. Hear what I'm saying. In Hebrews, the text says, the only way that I'm going to please God is I got to believe God. All right? The only way I'm going to please God. So whatever I do, I don't care if it's preaching, I don't care if it's praising, I don't care if it's teaching, I don't care if it's serving as a deacon, I don't care if it's serving as a trustee. The only way I'm going to please God, whatever I bring to God, whether it's tithe, whether it's extra ad offering, the only way I please God is I got to believe God, and he's a rewarder of those who come to him, who trust in him. You with me? So if my serving, hear me clearly now, if my preaching, if my teaching, if my offering, if my tithe is rejected by God, why is it rejected? Yes. Because I failed to trust him. In other words, I did what I did as a result of my own mindset without any God connection at all. Is it possible for y'all to do stuff without any connection to God at all? Now, see, God grants us human capability. So people live and get rich with no relationship to God at all. But folks that live and get billions of dollars in time recognize that we never have enough time. And sooner or later, I don't care how much money you amass. And you can, listen, you can put it in the casket with you, but it ain't going with you. Let somebody find out $1 million is in the casket with you. Bring me a shovel, somebody. Bring me a backhoe. I ain't going with him. I ain't going with him. I'm going to get that money. Because do they even know that the $1 million is in there? No, they don't know. So my point being that you may achieve some stuff that's pleasing to you, but the question is, has your life been pleasing unto God? And your life cannot be pleasing unto God until you trust God, until you believe God, until you take God at his word and let his word move you to do for him. That's why preaching and teaching demands prayer from God. Don't you dare stand before a congregation of people. Don't you dare stand before a classroom in the name of Jesus and have them talk to Jesus about it. The good thing is when you know you talk to Jesus and you know you're fired up with Jesus, if folks don't say amen, you can still be cool. I said if folk don't say amen, you can still be cool. If they look at you like you're crazy, you can still be good because you know that you're communicating what God put on your heart, and it ain't really you communicating as much as he's communicating through you. You ever see teachers and preachers shouting Bible study and get happy when they're teaching? I'm telling you, you ought to get happy when you're teaching sometime. Sometimes I have to pull the mic away because I get excited when I'm teaching. And it's not just the excitement of me doing it. It's the excitement of God doing it through you. Because it's a wonderful thing to know that God works in his people. God works through his people. God works on his people. So what's the problem with Cain, Sister Mill? What's the problem with this boy? So let me give you kind of a example. So Cain, what was Cain's responsibility? Cain was a farmer. So Cain looked over his fruit and Cain looked over his apples and his oranges, and Cain says, and I'm not saying Cain had no belief that God existed. But our belief that God exists ought to be evident in our day-to-day actions. See, it ain't going to do me no good to believe God exists on Sunday morning and then not allow him to work through me on Monday morning. So Cain had a Sunday morning belief that God exists, but when it came time for Cain to make some decisions about what he was going to give God, he looked at his own oranges and his own apples, and his own grapes, and his own nectarines, and said, well, I'm going to give this to God, 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 I'm going to give that to God, I'm going to give that to God. This is what I'm going to give to God. This. Yeah, I'm going to say this for myself because I'm going to take my trip, I'm going to take my cruise, so I got that new suit, I got that new dress, I'm going to say this for me, this mine here, this mine. But this is what I'm going to give to God. Give this to God because this is a part of the budget that I have for giving unto God. So I'm going to give this to God because God really only wants 10% anyway. And I can handle giving him 10% as long as I can keep 90%. Oops. I don't come in the 21st century. I'm supposed to be talking about Cain. I'm sorry. But Cain's mindset is my mindset if I ain't careful. The boy that was there in the creation narrative is the same human being that lives in 2026. And it's the mindset that says, this is what I'm going to do, as opposed to this is what the Lord desires of me. Sister Mills, what should Cain have done? No. Because here's the thing. I decide that this is better. I decide this is better. This is better than that. This is better. I decide this is better. This is better. I decide that he's better than him. I decide that she's better than her. I decide that this job is better than that. Is God getting any glory out of me making these decisions? I decide this is the pathway that's better than that. So it's just deciding on what's better going to be pleasing to God?
Again, the principle here is our personal decision making. And here's what God, somebody tell me what God.
Well, the text says, seek ye first. I got any Bible readers? Huh? What does that mean? What does it mean to seek first the kingdom of God? In all the other stuff, it'll come.
I know we're supposed to think God is first. So I don't understand. Should he have
Well, see, here's the thing. See, theologically, remember when we read last week that God had already predestined that the trees would bring forth fruit. So did God really even need Adam, Eve, Cain, or Abel? No. So God desires of them to demonstrate their commitment to him by taking charge of property that does not belong to them. Now, sister, I'm going to use an analogy. This is me and you. An analogy or an example that might help you understand what I just said. If I shared with you, Sister Mills, a property, let's say it's a house. It's a house. And I say to you, Sister Mills, I want you to manage. I want you to supervise this house for me. I want to entrust to you the house. Do you think you might want to please me with what you do with the house? And if you want to please me with what you do in the house, then basically you want to do what with me? What's one of the things that you want to do? Yeah. So one of the ways that you want to make sure that you do everything that's right and good and acceptable and pleasing to me, one of the ways that you want to achieve that might be what? How might you know that you're going to? How might you know that you're going to please me? I give you the house. Because if you're going to do something to please
talk
me.
Talk to you.
And I got to see a hand back here. Let me see the hand. So, Steve, what would you say? So, Cheryl? Yeah, but here's the thing. If you want to give me the best, what you call the best might be different than what I call the best. So who wants to define the best when it comes to property that I give to you, that I entrust to you? Yeah, the owner of the property defines what's best. So at the very least, you want to find out what he wants. And another way of talking about that in Christian terms is we want to know what the will of God is. We want to know what's on God's mind. And one of the best ways to know what's on my mind, or one of the best ways to know what's on God's mind is to what? Talk to him. It's conceivable that Cain did not have a good prayer life. Now, I'm just saying it's conceivable. The Bible doesn't say that. But here's the problem. If you don't talk to God, and if you don't let him talk to you, are you ever going to really have faith? You're not going to have faith. Now you might have a level of natural faith, and all of us have a natural faith because how many of us examined the seat before we sat in it? Now some of y'all might have examined. Gloria Bettis might examine the seats, and we want her to be examining the seat. But most of y'all just got to a seat, pulled it down, and sat down in it because you had the confidence that it will hold you. And there is a level of confidence that human beings have based upon what they're comfortable with and their thinking, their thought process. But Cain's problem, Sister Mia, Cain's problem is he sought as a caretaker, as a steward of God's property, he sought to decide on what he was going to return unto God in and of himself. And if you decide without talking to God, without hearing from God, you have a deficiency of faith. And without faith, you're going to be rejected. Now, we're talking a lot about faith here now, but we're going to get to grace. I got some questions. Come on, Gloria.
That's good.
Oh, there's the but.
But in the scripture, what in the scripture tells us that? Because my question was the same question that many has and has been for years. Cain, what he gave what he had, and Abel gave what he had, which was, you know, a lamb. So down through the years, I've heard different things like Cain's sacrifice had no blood, and the lamb had. What in the scripture that you read here this morning leads us to that conclusion?
And so one of the beauties of the scripture, and this is just God's hand on the scripture, because the writer, Moses, the writer of Genesis, had no idea that there'd be a writer of Hebrews. Totally disconnected. No idea. These books aren't found in the same place. But somebody in the early centuries gathered up all of these writings and decided on what was authentic, what was true. And so Genesis became a part of the scriptures, and Hebrews became a part of the 66 books that we have today. Now, here's God's anointing on these scriptures. God's anointing on these scriptures allows us to look at the scripture and see how other scriptures help us understand other scriptures. So I can get an understanding of an Old Testament scripture from a New Testament scripture. So my question for Cain is, why was his offering rejected? And it just so happens that the writer of the Hebrews references indirectly these boys. Matter of fact, somebody go to Hebrews again real quickly. Does Hebrews speak of Cain? I'm looking at a translation. I was just wondering real quickly.
Says, by faith Abel offered unto God more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh.
Now, if the New Testament scripture says, by faith, Abel pleased God, then if I turn around and ask, well, why didn't Cain please God? What might be my answer, Glory Brown? He did not have faith in God. Now, how might I translate that so I can apply that when I'm talking to somebody today? Because somebody's going to say, well, what is faith? What is faith? And if I ask y'all simply, what is faith, what might you tell me? And I want to give y'all something that ought to be the first thing that rolls off your head anytime somebody asks you. Because again, the first verse of chapter 11 is not necessarily the best definition of faith. It's a description of faith. It's a, it emphasizes faith, but it's not the best answer, particularly when you read the book of Romans. So here's what I want to give you when it comes to faith. And it's exemplified with Abraham. Faith is taking God at his word. Anybody ever heard that before? Anybody ever heard that simple definition of faith? Faith is merely taking God. Listen, Paul says, faith comes by hearing the word of God.
If faith comes by hearing the word of God, then it's the word of God that assures me that I have faith. And I know that I'm operating in the faith when I take God's word in and function accordingly. You all with me? So if Abel, Gloria, was able to please God by faith, because in that same chapter of Hebrews, it says it's impossible to please God without what? So if Cain did not please God, he did not please God because he sought his own mindset rather than a word from God. So it got nothing to do with one being a shepherd, one being a farmer. Got nothing to do with one being born first or one being born second. Has nothing to do with any blood or any kind of sacrifice like that. It has to be, because, listen, he had his assignment like Cain had it, or like Abel had his assignment. They got some stuff in common. But the problem is, whatever Courtney is assigned, it may not be the same as what Hannah's assigned, and it may not be the same as what Cheryl is assigned, and it may not be the same as what Camille's is assigned, but whatever your assignment, if you're going to please God in it, you got to hear from God. Mr. Brian?
How do I know that what I give today is pleasing to God? What is there some sign, kind of sign that will let me know that what I give is pleasing to God?
Well, I'm jumping ahead, but Brother Lonnie and Brother Buster heard me talk about this.
One of the ways that I know I'm on point with pleasing God in my giving today is I stop looking at what I think I can afford. I got to stop looking at allowing the budget to drive what I bring to God. Because the fact of the matter is, all of us are existing off more than our budgets. and see, listen, God told me to tell her, I got some amens all in my pocket. I got amens on. If y'all never nod your head, never say amen, I know what I'm talking about is true, because I'm a living witness. I'm living beyond my means. And you know, you got to be careful when you say that. When I say I'm living beyond my means, I'm talking about that which keeps me going, that which keeps me thinking, that which keeps me operating is beyond this world. It's beyond my budget. It's beyond my plan. And it's all by, come on, Trina, say it again. It's all by his grace. Grace is a part of God's inexhaustible. I ain't supposed to be stuck like this. God's grace is his inexhaustible resources that become accessible to those that love him. I got blessings I can't count, y'all. So why should I, Sister Byrne, start letting stuff I can count dictate what I do for God? Sister Gloria Brown, did Cain think that way? Did Cain allow his personal mindset, his personal budget, his personal, inventory to determine what he did for God? Cain looked at his stuff. He looked at his fruit. And he said, I'm going to do this for God. I'm going to do this for God.
This I'm keeping for me. Because mama going to make me apple pie with this one.
But he basically said, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I'm going to do the other. That's what I'm going to do for God. God said, no, baby, no, uh-uh. You ain't going to do me like that. Let's look at David, because even when David was guarding the sheep, and David has a testimony of what David was able to do, because of his testimony of what he was able to do with animals that are bigger, badder, more ferocious than him, he's able to go visit his brother and hear this big old 9-foot giant and say, I'll take him on. I'll take on. How dare this uncircumcised so-and-so? David has a perspective. David has a God view. Because watch this. In David's mind, Goliath is not just challenging Saul's army. In David's mind, Goliath is challenging the very purpose and plan and people of God. And David sees Goliath as already defeated. So David said, all I need is the same kind of rock. When David went to Saul, Saul thought he's crazy, Saul said, but if you don't do it, at least let me arm you up. Saul says, if you don't take him on, at least let me give you some stuff to fight with. Because you ain't nothing but a shepherd boy. You ain't even in my army. At least let me give you some armor. Text says David put it on. David said, I'm still fighting the same kind of enemy. He's just coming in a different way. I'm still fighting the same kind of enemy. If I'm still fighting the same kind of enemy, I'm going to use the same kind of weapon. I'm going to take what God, because I was able to kill that lion. And I was able to kill that bear because God helped me do it. Who just said in the book of Genesis, God helped me? Eve said, I got a boy because God helped me do it. And everybody in the book of Hebrews can say they did what they did because God helped them do it. Now, what comes first?
Grace or faith? God Almighty.
If my teaching is not in vain, grace comes first. Because remember this, we have a relationship with God not by faith. How many of y'all believe you've been saved by faith? I alluded last week to the fact that our faith is never. You think you had enough faith to be saved now and to have eternal life now? You think you had enough faith for God to show up and indwell you? I thank God for faith. But I recognize that faith is a gift from God. And the first gift is the fact that he came to us just like he came to pain. Our first gift is God showed up. Our first gift is that God clothed himself in human form and came down through the womb that he created, birthed himself by the Holy Ghost. That's our first gift. And so everybody, I really want to do something here, but here's your homework assignment. It's not showing up. How come this is not showing up? Juxtapose grace and faith. Now, if you can, make a couple notes of that, because I've established something that I want you to spend some time with in terms of understanding grace and faith. So let's look at this for a minute. In the first column to your left, it says, grace is God rendered. Y'all see that? What do I mean by God rendering? What do I mean by rendering? Give. Grace is God giving. Faith is human receiving. Does that make sense? Let's do another one. Grace is God action. Faith is human action. You saw human action in the book of Hebrews. You saw some tremendous, some supernatural human action. But it came as a result of God. Watch this. Grace is God saying you can. Faith is saying what? If grace is God saying to you, Kelvin Denham, you can. Faith is you saying what? Faith is you saying. You got to agree with God. If God says you can, stop saying you can. Grace is God providing the impossible. Boy, this will make you shout right here. Y'all see that? Grace is God providing the impossible. Moses at the Red Sea. God has made provisions in the Red Sea. God says to Moses, the Red Sea is waiting on your action. And even before his faith, God made the impossible possible. What was the impossible that took place at the Red Sea? It opened up. It opened up. When did it open up? When Joshua said, open up. When Aaron said, open up. When the children of Israel started shouting and praising God, did it open up? What happened? When did it open up? When Moses raised the rod. When Moses stopped begging God, stopped crying to God, and did what God had already prepared him and the sea to do. Grace is God providing the impossible. Faith is human beings doing. Boy, I wish I had just somebody. I heard Glory Gunn say, ooh, I wish I had somebody else in here say, ooh. Ooh, hallelujah. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to look at this. I want you to juxtapose just merely means we're going to lay these two side by side, and we're going to do a contrasting and comparative study. I sought to lay it out. I want you to spend some time looking at grace and faith and coming up with some stuff just like I did here. And let's come back and talk about it briefly, but I want you to do this more for you than for us. Yeah. I want you to make it personal, because God is dealing with you in some issues in 2026, and you think you can't do it. And I ain't talking about something that somebody else is trying to get you to do. I'm talking about stuff that you know you've been talking to God about, and he's been talking to you about, and maybe you've been trying to evade the conversation. But listen, when I call you, when I text you, you might ignore that, but listen, if God is reaching out, you want to answer that call. You want to hang up on somebody. Sometimes I call my mom and she said, well, I just got off the line with so-and-so. I saw you call, so I hung up with him. That lets me know how mama loves you. Sometimes we need to demonstrate how much we love God. And some stuff needs to go off so we can turn to God. So I want us to do this. I want us to do this and look at how grace and faith operate and see how important these two virtues are to our day-to-day life. Because again, grace is not something to hang on a rack and say, I'm here by the grace of God. I'm saved by the grace of God. Yeah, that's true. But grace ought to take you into the day-to-day details of your life and remind you that this virtue of grace is not only unmerited favor, this virtue of grace is power. This virtue of grace is accessing authority that comes from God. And it will endow you with ability. This is what the Hebrew heroes and sheroes would say. It will endow you with abilities beyond yours. Because, and I'm going to leave us on this note. Come on, Kim. If we're not careful, we're living insulting life. We'll come here and praise God and insult Him at the same time. And I'm going to talk next week about how we insult God. Glory Brown. So I was just saying, anybody hear me define juxtapose? Juxtapose is to merely lay two things alongside one another for the purpose of a comparative study. Contrast and compare. And the two words we're contrasting and comparing are what? Grace and faith. And the writer Paul in Ephesians says, we're saved by grace, but we're saved through faith. And if you just look at the chronology of the text, grace comes what? Grace comes first. And it's important to see grace from God, and then faith being my cooperating with God. Question? If you have any questions, I'm out of time. But write them down. Bring them next week. Write them down. Bring them next week. Kim.
Good morning, Messiah, to Pastor Lil John. I just want to share a few announcements as well as remind us that we will continue in this posture of Sunday school with one class as we continue through the month of January. So again, we thank you, Pastor, for leading and guiding us through the grace versus faith. The announcements are as follows. Unfortunately, we had a couple of links in the Messiah chain that has been broken in the passing of our very own Brother Larry Pollard, as well as Brother Dwayne Briggs. I do want to share their services, which are upcoming. The first service for Brother Larry Pollard will be Monday, January 19th, here at Messiah. The family hour will be at 10, and the funeral services will take place at 10:30 a.m. And then on that Friday, which is January 23rd, you lose your spot. I'm going to get back. Okay. The services for Brother Dwayne Briggs will be Friday, January 23rd, Family hour at 10 a.m. and the funeral will follow at 10:30 a.m. As always, we ask that you please keep those families in your prayers and be reminded of these services. We will share those, especially with our leadership team, to make sure our ministries is in place accordingly. On tomorrow at 6 p.m., the Women of Messiah will meet via Zoom at 6 o'clock p.m. for our Zoom experience. And we're going to stay in connection with our church theme, about our identity. I have selected and prayed about our focus for 2026 for our women's ministry will be Mirror, Mirror on the Wall. I ask that you please, those of you can and will, be there at 6 o'clock. I did send out the information this morning via email. If you did not receive that email, please make sure to see me so I can get your email address and pop it over to you before 6 o'clock tomorrow. And I will be sharing that Zoom this evening, so it'll be at the top of